is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN Chicago, also on the ESPN Chicago app. And you can, as always, watch us on YouTube and Twitch. Just search for ESPN 1000 Chicago. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. And Mike, we are back. We are back after our long hibernation from the winter, although it's still, if you anywhere this week, it felt like, hey, we're not going to be playing golf in the Chicagoland area for quite some time, but it is warming up a little bit this week. Not that anyone's getting outside and playing, maybe, but maybe some ranges are opening up a little bit, or at least with the space heaters, it'll feel a little bit better out, and we're back for another year here, my friend.
And it is so good to be back, and good morning to you, Tyler, and good morning to everybody in Chicago, and I have to say, it has been a long winter. I feel like a bear that went into hibernation and just counting down the days to February 22nd, because it's one of those benchmark moments that, you know, when we get started again, that means we're only a few weeks away from the actual official start of golf in Chicago, which is March 15th. So to your point, this week was nowhere near spring. In fact, across the street from our headquarters at Midwest Golf House in Lamont is Cog Hill, and they are open every single day, regardless. And believe it or not, I was pulling out of the office at about 6:30 at night, and it had to be 4 degrees with a wind chill of 10 below zero. There were four people hitting golf balls under heaters, but those heaters only work so
they can only
well.
Do so much.
So I wanted to see if we maybe had a sanity check on these guys, but yeah. Seriously.
Honestly, if they're hitting balls in 4 degree weather, they're probably listening to the show.
They might
be. If you are, 312-332-3776.
But I did see some real diehards this winter, and it just goes to show you the state of the game, the love of the game, and how popular this game has become. Really, since COVID gave us a shot in the arm like no other, and I would almost have to compare it to the Tiger effect in a certain way. So, you know, with every bad situation, sometimes there's good that comes out of it. And for us in the golf industry, we couldn't be more pleased as we head into 2025.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Like thinking about the winter and everything and how today it feels like it's a significant turn, especially on the station today, because it's the first show of the year for the CDGA Golf Show. We've got our first White Sox game today as well on the station. It's like if the weather's a little bit nicer, I think by the time we walk out of here, it'll be like 30 degrees. Like everything about it, it feels like, hey, we're back. Like things are turning. The corner is here, and we're about to turn it. So if you want to join us, 312-332-3776, how have you felt over this winter from a golfing standpoint? What have you been able to do? What haven't you been able to do? And just, we'll be out at the Chicago Golf Show next week up in Rosemont. So looking forward to that. That is one of your and my favorite events of the year. CDGA is going to have their whole, like,
town,
it's like a town.
Square.
I was going to say,
square.
Yeah, it's like it's the headquarters of the show, it feels like. And it's a wonderful event. If you need any sort of gear, if you just want to like feel the rush of golf back again, get out to this thing in Rosemont. It's a lot of fun and it's a good time. So definitely make your way on out there. And then we'll be doing the show live from 9 to 11. And Peggy and Dion will follow us as well from 11 to 1 out at the Chicago Golf Show.
Absolutely. And, you know, like last year, we're going to have you and Peggy and Dion putting for $10,000 after
right.
their show. Yeah. Along with a couple of lucky fans that also attend. So it is going to be one heck of a big show. And I think it's the biggest show they've ever done. They sold more booths than they've ever sold.
Wow.
They sold 61 more ahead of last year. So this thing is expanding. Our space is now up to 15,000 square feet. So we have the two longest putt alleys within our space, if you will, amongst the store and a bunch of other interactive opportunities for everyone to enjoy. So you can't miss us when you walk in the front door. We're the first thing you see. But as a presenting sponsor, we're thrilled. We look at this event annually as our way to kick off the 2025 season or any golf season, because a lot of big announcements are going to come. I can't share them with you today because I'd be scooping my own organization, but we will be making some great announcements. We're doing a VIP night, to which you've been invited, obviously, on Thursday. We're going to do a sneak preview for a lot of our partners and media partners and all of those allied associations that work with us throughout the year, just to kind of bring everybody together and have that toast and that opportunity to have a little fellowship before we splinter off in our own ways, and then we won't really see one another. It's funny, we're all so busy, and then we don't really convene again until the winter. So we thought, well, what better way to get together than on a Thursday night before a little cocktail party? And it's there where we're going to start, you know, leaking out some of the press releases and announcements.
Wonderful. So, I mean,
a lot going on.
There's a lot to look forward to from a golf standpoint, not just locally, but professionally. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here in the area and across the country and really across the world right now with everything that's going on in the state of the game.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. Our membership, I think, Tyler, when we started our show last year, we were at like 106,000 members. We're over 112,000 now.
Amazing.
And when you think about where we were at COVID, our membership has grown over 40%, not quite to 50%, but it's just mind-boggling, because for 100-plus years, our membership stayed pretty flat, if you will, with a little ebb and flow here and there. But we're enjoying what I call this hockey stick trend, if you will. And right now, it just seems like there's no end in sight. Golf is in a very, very strong position. I always look to our regional partners like Tullymore or French Lick and ask them, how are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And they are booked out, not next year, the following year. They have very limited space. Bandon Dunes, for example, we got shot out for the second year in a row in a lottery, just trying to get into a lottery to book something for 2026. So from my perspective, when I see those companies and those organizations as strong as they are, I think everyone else in the game is going to just simply blossom and grow. Whether you're a manufacturer, whether you're a golf course, you know, an apparel company, I think everyone's going to do well as a result of the popularity of the game.
I mean, you can tell too, just going to courses and stuff like that, like the tee time separation, everyone's trying to squeeze in a few extra times, and you need it. You need the inventory right now. I don't blame some of these golf course managers for doing that, but it has come at a cost at times of slow play has been an issue. It's not necessarily even slow play. It's just everything's so bunched together now.
Well, that's just it. And I think part of this growth is also the ability to manage the demand. And when I say that, keeping the experience of the player definitely at the forefront. And there are those that I call them as like cattle herd. They're just trying to run as many people through as they can. And they really don't pay too much attention to what the, you know, the experience is for the players out there, because I've heard it from operators saying, well, it just is what it is. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, because what I've also found is that golf courses are not discounting anymore like they were pre-COVID, because the inventory is so sacred, they're able to charge what they typically would charge. Yeah. So, you know, there's that pressure year over year from the owners and the operators, especially a lot of those management type companies. And when you stop and think about the weather we've had the last couple of years, it's been almost perfect.
Yeah.
So what you're really asking operators to do in 2025 is to pitch almost a perfect game. And there is so much they can't control, because if you get off to a bad start with the weather, then you're playing catch up all year as a comparison of year over year. And that seems to be the mantra from the top down, from ownership down to those in the, you know, in the field when you're at the facility and, you know, trying to get on the golf course. And, you know, you're just wondering, is our goal and your goal still the same? Is it just that you want to get us out there and get us in, or do you really want to give us an experience that really will make us want to come back and pay that top dollar? And I think that's where courses have gotten a little greedy. They're charging the rate, but then they're giving an experience, to your point, that was like, I just felt like another number, and I didn't feel like they really cared about how long it took me, even though they charged me the full fare.
Right. And I think it's one of those, like, a lot of the talk on the station this week has been about the Bears upping their season ticket prices by an average of 10%. And it's like, well, if you don't want your season tickets, we got a line out the door of people that'll take your spot. And it's the same thing with tee times.
Exactly.
You don't want your tee time, there's a line out the door of people waiting to get that Saturday morning spot, that Sunday morning spot. Like, the inventory, it's amazing how sometimes I'll take time off and I'll be golfing during the week, and it's like, it's tough to find like a Wednesday afternoon time.
Oh yeah,
in the middle of the summer.
Well, and that's,
and it used to be a wide open, like, have at it, whatever time you want. Now it's like, you actually have to figure out what time you want, or otherwise you're not going to get it.
Well, and I think what has happened, and it's forced all of us as players, whether you're, you know, intermediate, novice, or, you know, a very serious player, you really have to start planning your golf for the season. When are you going to play? You know, are you going to play in events? You know, and if you're going to be playing sort of that regular routine of a Wednesday afternoon after work, it's almost that you have to go into a different mode to say, okay, I can't call Tuesday before that Wednesday, but maybe I should be making a note on Friday to put it in there, so I do get the time that I want, if you know you're going to play. It's just, it's requiring a lot more planning for the everyday player, but even for the tournament player. We just opened up registration for our social competitions. Last year, we had 42 competitions. We had over 3,200 CDGA members play in a variety of these things. And last week, we opened up registration. And within 24 hours, we probably had 80% of all the events sold out. And in fact, the last event of the year, October 27th, it's a member day at Lost Dunes. Mm-hmm. October 27th. We put this on sale in February. By lunchtime, it was sold out.
Wow.
So it just goes to show you how you have to start thinking now in this day of age of golf and the demand and the interest of making sure you get what you want when you want it.
Yeah. When we come back, I want you to kind of lay out what the calendar looks like for the CDGA this year. And then we got to get into kind of what we've missed since we departed from the airwaves last September. So
ton to unpack.
There's a new league that's been booted up. There's been some really good finishes to some tournaments already on the PGA Tour. So all that and more when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. We're back here on the CDGA Golf Show. It's all brought to you by Glenview Park Golf Club. Once again, we love having Glenview Park as our presenting sponsor for the show. It was funny, you brought up Bandon, and I think the last time I saw Ron Cassidy, he was recapping the Bandon trip.
We brought him out there.
Yeah, he was recapping the last, I believe that's the last time I saw Ron.
Yeah, he and Franco joined us out at Bandon, and did we have the greatest time. And I think I saw the biggest blister on a foot I've ever seen on Franco's foot.
Oh, no.
I mean, and the next time you see him, you'll have to give him some crap for that. But it's just the amount of walking you do up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he made the mistake of bringing a new pair of shoes.
Yep. Been there.
You don't want to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a lot of great stuff coming up here in the golf season and with the CDGA for the year. What do we have in terms of schedule, events? Obviously, it all sort of kicks off next week with the Chicago Golf Show up at Rosemont, which you and I will be at. We'll be doing the show from there, and you just handed me the schedule of all the people that are going to be there. lots and lots of people coming out to that you want to see, including some friends of the show as well that will be out there.
Yeah.
Brett Packy, who we had on before, Charlie Nikitas.
Charlie.
Guy I went to high school with who's been doing a great job trying to get up there on the tour. Some former Bears will be out there. Jay Hilgenberg, Jim Thornton. So, yeah, like there's going to be a it's going to be a good time up there. And obviously you can enjoy the town square, get your long putts in as well. You can hear the roar of the crowd whenever one drops in. What was it last year? Last year there was like a stretch of a couple in a row. And
oh, yeah. We had two unique situations happen where the father made the putt and everybody went crazy. And his son stepped up, and on the very first roll, he put it right on top of him. So he made his first one, missed his next two, but then the young man stepped up and drained his one. So within four putts, we made two. And then on Sunday morning, just after we got opened and got going, unbeknownst to us, but both guys hit the putt at the same time, and both balls went into the hole at the same time. So those were the two unique ones that happened. But in the course of, get this, 74 aces last year.
Wow.
So Tour Edge handed out 74 wingman putters. And, you know, we get the prize pack that you get is incredible for making a putt. And then you go into a grand prize for a potential trip to Tullymore, a full set of irons, woods, and a fitting in a bag from Tour Edge, or a remote control cart from Zero Friction. That thing's worth like a couple of grand. So lots of great prizes. I mean, I just cannot wait for the show next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, what else is on the schedule in terms of the year for the CDGA that you're really looking forward to?
So just like you said, I mean, February is all about the golf show. Our first publication comes out, and for most CDGA members, if you haven't received it today, you'll probably get it early next week. But then we go into March, and as I mentioned earlier, March 15th gets this thing started, providing Mother Nature cooperates. Now, last year, we did play some rounds in February.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. And so it looks like the weather is going to be decently warm next weekend. So they're, you know, I think the ground is still quite frozen. Oh, so yeah. I don't know that anything's going to be open per se in its, you know, grand fashion. But, you know, if you get a few of those opportunities in early March, but if not, anything that happens post March 15th, you can start recording it for handicap purposes. Then we get into April. Well, April, we all know what April is, the Masters. And with that, our tournament season also gets officially started. So that will start in April, and we'll have 49 qualifiers and championships over on the championship side of our association. And then in May, the social competitions start. And that's for the guys like you and me who have a handicap, but we still like to compete. And we like to have an adult beverage while we do it, because you can't do that in the championships. Mm-hmm. We do not allow alcohol in those. But in the social competitions, because Tito's and Lakeshore Beverage are our big presenting sponsors and partners, we do allow that adult beverage. So these social competitions have just grown in popularity. And as I mentioned, we had 3,218 people compete last year. And with the, you know, addition of a few other little things this year, I think we're going to have 42 or 44 total events, qualifiers, and obviously the month of all the finals. And usually most of these social competitions carry with it a presenting sponsor like a French Lick, a Tullymore, a Sand Valley. Yeah. So they're playing for stay-and-play trips. So you might imagine the competition and the teams that get put together over on the social side is short of amazing. I mean, we have some of the top amateurs in our state trying to put together what I call super teams to play up at that championship flight, because everything's flighted, so that even though you feel like, hey, I'm an 18 handicap, I don't belong there, oh, yes, you do. We put you in a flight that you can be as competitive and have every chance to win as anybody else. But with the super teams and these low handicappers, we had an instance last year where a scramble team of four, their combined index or course handicap was plus three. They had to give the golf course three shots. That's how good this team was. So it's fun, and it's fun to see the top players embrace these events as competitive as they want to be. But for them to come together, because normally week in and week out, they're trying to beat each other's brains in, you know, individually. Yep. So it's really fun to see that. So that all happened in May. June becomes U.S. Open month, but that is also a month that we now started managing and running a Chicago Adaptive Open. And we had our first one last year, our inaugural one at Cog Hill. This year, we're going out to Fox Bend and Oswego, and we are going to have a pro-am on the Friday, the 20th, and then we will have two rounds of stiff competition, and they will be playing for a sizable purse, which will be announced at the golf show. But it'll be a bigger purse than last year. That's about the only thing I can add to it. But this is going to get the attention of all the adaptive players around the country and around the world, for that matter, because we do expect to have a full field and some of the best players in the world coming to our area. And this event has grown in total big-time popularity. And we've had a lot of Chicago companies like Wintrust, Illinois Bone and Joint, and Wadsworth have all stepped up to put big sponsorships behind all of these. And Illinois Bone and Joint is one of them. They're going to be our presenting sponsor of this event. So this event has grown in stature, so we're quite excited about that. July is a big fundraising month for us. We'll have our CDGA Foundation outing at Oak Park Country Club, which I hope you're going to join us. And where all proceeds go to support our effort with veterans and all the camps and the blind vet camps that we do. And we do 13 of those throughout the summer. A lot of people don't know we do that, you know, at private, some of the best private country clubs that we have to offer. And so all of those efforts and funds raised go to all those good causes. And then in August, we have another great fundraiser, and it's called On the Tee for Autism. And we hold that at Chicago Highlands. And that has opportunity for CDGA members to play. So if you've never played Chicago Highlands and you've heard nothing but great things about it, here's a great opportunity to not only do something good for the battle against autism, but also have one heck of a great time. They do such a great job out at Chicago Highlands. September is our CDGA social competition finals month, as well as our championships come to the conclusion of four balls. And the season pretty much wraps itself up from a competition perspective in September. October, we'll have our final CDGA member play day, October 27th at Lost Dunes. And then, believe it or not, we get to November. And November 14th, the season ends.
Yeah.
And we go back into the same hibernation.
And before you know it, the Christmas lights are up.
That's it. That's exactly right. And that's when you're starting to look for that new secret for next season. What am I going to ask for Christmas? And try to take advantage of a Black Friday offer.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like when you really calendar out the year, it's amazing how quickly it goes. Like even to think that we're already back at the golf show next week. And then like next week, it's also March too.
I know. Isn't that? And normally the golf show would be this weekend. We have traditionally started our season.
I thought it was usually in February.
And it is. And what happened this year is one of the biggest exhibitors that they had, and there was another show in Michigan that conflicted. And so we thought, or the organizers, I should say, Tom Corcoran and his crew, decided to push it back 1 month. So that allows us to work like this.
Got it.
But it did have its casualties because Tracy Butler was going to join us, but she's going to be out of town. Andy North was going to join us, but he has to be in Pinehurst that weekend. So he was going
to
make it.
Be
he has to be because they are the inaugural of the new president is happening, or they're putting him in. But it's their annual meetings and all that. So he's on the executive committee. But Andy is going to be a big friend of our show.
We talked to him last year, which was a lot of fun. That was at the Adaptive Open.
It was at the Adaptive Open. But Andy is going to make himself available every major. Every preview and even during after. And he'll, I know with the PGA Championship, he said he'll be a foot soldier for ESPN, but he still wants to come on the show with us.
Amazing.
So, yeah, to have a two-time U.S. Open champion as a friend.
Yeah. looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, with all the majors and stuff like that, you'll be able to play fantasy golf along with us, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we'll brief you a little bit more on that as it gets closer and closer. But again, you just got to go to the CDGA's website, cdga.org, sign up for a membership. As I like to say, pays for itself
after
a couple of months. You get a handicap index with it, all that good stuff. And you can be a part of some of these great competitions and all these other events as well. So check it out, cdga.org. When we come back, I do want to get into what's been taking place on and off the tour since we departed back in September. Lots of interesting stuff happening on the course, in the arenas as well.
Yes.
and as well as just some other news, everything that's going on with the LIV and PGA merger, all that and more coming up next when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf. Without the drive, Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we're back with you on the CDGA Golf Show. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the season, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Chicago. And there's been a lot that's happened since we left last September. And I think specifically, this has been the hot button, I think. And it's not the LIV PGA Tour, because even though there's some motion there, it's still, all right, wake me up when there's a merger at this point. That's kind of where I'm at with that. I don't know how you feel with it, but the thing that's been the hot button topic has been this TGL Simulator Golf League that we brought the news to you, what, 2 years ago, I think, when it was announced that Rory and Tiger were going to go in to form this league. And it's a I'll be completely honest, not a fan of it, really.
Really?
That surprises me. It feels gimmicky. It, you know what it is? It reminds me, in a sense, of pickleball. And here's what I mean by that. Pickleball is a lot of fun to play. Simulator golf, a lot of fun to play. I don't need to watch people do it.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch pickleball on ESPN. And to me, I feel the same way with simulator golf. I don't feel the need to watch simulator golf on ESPN. I love playing it. Love it. But I just don't need to have some league that I'm carving out part of my Tuesdays, or we had the President's Day Monday afternoons. Like, to me, it's a bunch of guys that are going to the simulator having a good time. And part of why I love watching golf on TV is the competition aspect of it. It feels competitive. This, to me, doesn't feel as competitive. It feels like a bunch of guys going out having a great time.
And that's really kind of what it is. I mean, yes, are they playing for pride? Are they playing for some money and all the rest of it? Yeah, but they're not playing anywhere as serious as they do day in and week out and round out, if you will. But this is a new thing. And actually, this was introduced to us 2 years ago, to your point. They were supposed to have the season last year, but that hurricane destroyed the SoFi Center that was, I think it was about half built or three quarters built, and it just tore it apart.
By the way, that I will say that arena stadium looks awesome.
Oh.
And I'll say this, for as much as I don't like watching it on TV, I would love to go to one. Just to be in that arena, it looks amazing.
You and me both, and I have talked to a few people that during the PGA merchandise show in January had the opportunity to go, and they said it's even better in person than it ever looks even on TV. That's a five-story screen. That is not just 20 or 30 feet tall. That thing is enormous, and they say it is the coolest thing. And they put those trays. They basically took the same idea from, what's it, the Arizona Cardinals and the grass.
So
they bring in, I mean, they're hitting off of either rough,
oh, it's real grass. Yeah.
I mean, so all of that is very real. I think there's a few things that do make this a little gimmicky. And I think we saw it right away in week one when Tiger flew a wedge into the lake behind the green. Mm-hmm. For Tiger Woods to ever do that on a real golf course, I think, you know, hell's going to freeze over because it just doesn't happen. And it puts Tiger in a weird position because that's his launch monitor company. So he can't be, you know, being all negative on them because this is his company. And from what I'm being told from the technical side of this, there is another monitor out there that is actually better for the measuring these guys. For us mortals, any monitor will do.
Right.
But for these guys, what I think the monitor doesn't pick up is how much they can take off of a shot because it reads data. It doesn't necessarily, it reads the spin, and they may be spinning it the same rate, but the way that they float the ball out there, especially on their softer shots or half shots, they're not seeing the same results. So the game is a little finicky in that perspective. So for me, would you gamble on this? Because it just seems that, and I think you can.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I think you can gamble on just about anything.
Yeah.
But I would have a tough time knowing that every now and then, a ball can just be hot at no point. And
then
you can also have those situations where you have, you know, kind of a brain freeze like Tiger had this past week. And it wasn't anything to do with the monitor. In fact, when he hit that shot that I thought was woefully short, I was like, uh-oh, here comes another poor monitor reading. And little did I know, he had a wedge in his hand from 199 yards out. And not even the great Tiger Woods can do that.
Right.
But to your point, it does have a little bit of that gimmick to it. I think this is a bit of a reaction to team golf when LIV came out a few years ago. I think they do a better job than LIV does in that regard.
Well, the viewership would certainly tell you so too. Even with LIV going over to Fox, the viewership, don't let the LIV golf fan accounts fool you. Like, it is not good.
No, and the amount of money LIV has lost over, like, last year they're estimating they lost $400 million,
which is a drop in the bucket for them.
It really is, and their entire investment thus far, $4 billion, and it's expected to exceed $5 billion this year. So how do you compete against that if you're the PGA Tour? You just don't. I mean, and I think you're silly if you continue to try. But they're estimating that every one of those LIV events, operational costs, no purse, $10 million a site.
Wow.
So they do put on a good show, but the problem is not a lot of people are watching it. Now, it will be interesting once they get back to the States to see if going to Fox makes any bit of a difference. It might move the needle a little bit. But speaking of moving the needles, the biggest needle mover we know is Tiger Woods, and TGL sees that. When Tiger plays in these video events, the viewership is up close to around 1 million, and I think has exceeded 1 million one time, especially when he and Rory were at it. But otherwise, the viewership is in the 300,000s, and I think on the average, it's over 400,000 people. And that's on the mainstream of ESPN.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is front and center. They're promoting it, and like, SVP is, after Ludwig won at the Genesis and played in the event on Monday for the TGL, like, on the quick turnaround there, Ludwig's on SVP that night. Like, they're trying their best to pump this thing up. I just don't know what the interest level is. I think one of the mistakes they had was not having Tiger in the first one.
Yes.
And that's something that I just feel like it was an easy layup type of deal. Rory wasn't even in the first one, was he? Like, and you're talking about the two, I would say, faces of the PGA Tour, albeit Tiger doesn't really play tour events, but he's still a face of the tour. To not have those two guys participate in your inaugural event when it's their league,
right?
They're sitting in the stands and doing interviews and stuff. Go hit some balls off the mat.
Well, you two are the needle movers, and sitting in seats doesn't move needles for us. But I think they were trying to bank on the curiosity factor in week one and then let them come in and help bring the ratings up. I think what they were afraid of, everybody watches that first one, and then there's a trend going down.
Yeah.
And so I think that was sort of the rationale behind all that. But I will, though, on a positive note, I love watching Tiger again, though. He still does move the needle. He still matters. And, you know, I'm seeing him actually move around better than I ever have.
Well, I was going to say, I think part of it, too, is you don't see him look mortal in these. From the standpoint of, and I get, like, you can talk about the technology or the mental flub that he had, but from a stance of, when he's using that putter or that iron as a cane sometimes when he's trying to maneuver some of these courses, it's tough to watch. But he doesn't have to do that. There's no walking involved in this. It is step up, hit. All right, we're going to go over to the putting green area now. Step up, putt. Like it, that part of it where it feels like you're watching a little bit of not Tiger of old, but he at least looks like he's in his peak physical condition again.
Right, and that's where I was hoping by the time we had the show that Tiger would have played in his own event. But unfortunately, if you don't know, his mother passed away a couple weeks ago, and that weighed heavily on him, and you know he did the right thing. He didn't play. So we still don't know what happens when he goes out on real grass, has to walk all 18 holes, navigate the terrain and all that good stuff, and then, you know, put more and more pressure, the practicing and all the rigors of a week on tour, and then to see how does he respond back. So let me ask you, if you're Tiger Woods, where do you play your first event this year? What's your strategy?
I think the way that circumstances have, it would have been the Genesis, I think, would have obviously been a natural landing spot. Is it Augusta? Like, I'm trying to.
A lot of people are pointing to the Players.
I was
going to
say Players.
But I think he would do himself a big disservice going to that golf course for his first one. If I were him, I would consider making Bay Hill.
Interesting.
And take the Players' Championship off and allow your body to respond. He does so well at Bay Hill. He's won that thing five or six times. So let's go on a golf course. You know well, it's flat. I mean, Bay Hill is a pretty flat golf course. And let's see where the body is. And more importantly, how does the body respond? And if it responds well, maybe you play one more event before Augusta. Otherwise, then you ramp up for Augusta.
That's a tough spot to, not going cold, but like it's a tough spot to for your body. I'm not even talking about the actual playing of the golf course, but just the walking of the 18 at Augusta is, I mean, anyone that's ever been there knows the undulation. It's the thing that I think for people that go, and I've never been, but everyone that I've talked to that goes there for the first time, it's the one thing that kind of takes everyone by surprise is just the hills that you navigate at that course and some of these blind shots that a lot of these guys are taking and you don't even realize it.
Right. And when you watch 18, for example, at Augusta, you can't appreciate how much of an uphill walk that really is for these guys. And it's the 72nd hole or the 18th hole of that particular round. And, you know, you're doing everything you can to keep your energy, be able to make that last good swing into the final hole without being, you know, exhausted or a little bit quick or, you know, with the stress, the pressure, the anxiety, whatever it might be. So, you know, the golf course, the way it's laid out, is not flat whatsoever. And unfortunately for us folks that don't get a chance to see it, TV makes it appear very, very flat, and it's not.
Yep. We do want to know people's thoughts. What have you liked about the TGL? What have you not liked? Are you watching it? Have you been turned off by it? 312-332-3776. What is simulators golf's space in the market right now? Is it just, I like to go and have some fun at X Golf? Or is it, I do enjoy the TGL and everything that it's brought and seeing these guys play in it? 312-332-3776. We'll get to your phone calls and also some other stuff that we've missed along the way as well, including a spectacular finish by Ludvig Åberg last week at the Genesis. Incredible stuff.
A stud.
And we'll get to all that and more. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. We're back with you on the CDGA Golf Show and talking a little bit about the TGL Total Golf League. And it is what it has brought to simulator golf and kind of what is the market, what's its spot in the market really right now? Overall, like if you were to give it on a scale of like 1 to 10, on like your impression of just how much you like it so far through its infancy, what's it been out like a month now?
Yeah, it's been about a month. I think it's been about 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. It started like around MLK Day, if I'm remembering correctly, and then, but like if you were to scale of 1 to 10, like how much you enjoy it, where would you put it?
Probably at about a 7.
7.
Okay. You know, because there's things that I wish they would do and change to make it more appealing to somebody like myself. At the beginning, when they first came out, I was wondering, are they going to play holes that we know? Or are they going to kind of create these because they can? And that's exactly what they did.
And that's part of the gimmick that I think is a little, I think it turns some people off to a degree. Like, part of the appeal to me of simulator golf is, hey, anyone can go play Pebble Beach.
Yes.
Anyone can go play Torrey Pines or Pinehurst or wherever the upcoming PGA Tour event is. Like, that's part of the beauty of it to me and why I think it's appealing for people to go out and do it. I'd be curious to see what simulator golf, like what the places like X Golf, what have they seen with their businesses as a result of this league? Has there been any sort of spike or whatnot? But
oh yeah, there has. The operators have told us that this has done
it's big for them.
It's helped them. It certainly hasn't hurt. Mm-hmm. I think it's validated for some, and I think it's actually intrigued those who have never tried it to at least go out and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I think the difference when we go to an X Golf or to a 5-iron, and you know, you can bring up whatever course you really want that they have the licensing to. And I think that's where they swung and missed on the TGL. I think it would have been really cool is if, let's say, you're the home team, and like, you know, the home team in hockey, you get to put your stick down last as a draw, and you get to have the last line change. So if you're the home team, you should be able to say, okay, if we're up, we get to call the holes. So this hole is going to be the par 3 at Augusta, number 12.
Yeah.
And then they could say, okay, I want to play 18 at Pebble. Holes that we all can relate to at home versus these
not
diamond
this, like,
things.
And the tridents or whatever that they're throwing out there.
It's crazy. I was waiting for somebody to miss the fairway that was shaped like a diamond at that littlest point and then see what the reaction would have been. But I just think that starts to push the limit a little bit to the what I call the goofy golf. Yeah. And it loses a little bit of its real to me. And like gambling on this, I mean, I shake my head, you know, on a made up contrived hole that's got lava shooting out, you know, and I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Feels like
cool.
Mini golf.
It does.
Yeah.
But yet these are real superstars playing almost like on a cartoon. And then it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. But I think if they had, you know, holes that we could say, oh, yeah, I mean, that's Amen Corner right there. And we get a steady diet, or they could preview, these are the holes you're going to see them compete on. And then there's that chance that they could then show, well, here's how he really did on this hole over his course of his career.
Yeah.
He has played this hole at 4.3, and he's making a travesty of it here. Right?
Yeah.
TGL, he's going to make 8, you know, or whatever. But I think we miss that. And I think we also miss the emotion that we traditionally get with most telecasts that Jim Nance and, you know, the guys at NBC and everybody does so well to paint the picture and to get us emotionally, you know, invested in this thing. Yeah. And I think if they would have picked somebody like, again, another friend of the show, Colt Nost, I think Colt would have been fantastic.
Or even, I get it's asking him to do a lot, especially on the heels of what he did for football season, but Scott Van Pelt, I think, would have been perfect for that.
I agreed. And I think he's got that kind of relationship with especially with Tiger, but, you know, the rest of them. And
just the whole sport,
because I think they relied too much on the personalities of the players. And unfortunately, you know, these guys are like idiot savants. They are so good at this. Some of them are great entertainers with voice and mannerisms and the rest of it, but some of them just aren't blessed that way, and that's okay. Yeah. It's just the way that they are. Patrick Cantlay will always be Patrick Cantlay.
And same with Xander.
Same with Xander. These guys are wired a little bit differently, and if they get out of that zone, well, then they're not going to play well. So I think you're asking a little bit more of these guys in this type of traditionally an arena now. But yeah, I just think it's interesting. And I was utterly shocked also by the fact that, you know, sometimes it's on Monday, sometimes it's not. So the schedule's a little wonky at times, and that's all because of their play schedule. But I shook my head. I couldn't believe I watched these guys play at Torrey Pines and the next day they're in Florida.
Right. But Ludwig, I mean, he's hopping on a plane.
And hopping on your own private jet, I might add. So I think being a player in this, I think you got to have your own jet service or something. But for them to not only be able to do it, but then turn around and play on a video game that well, I was impressed.
Yeah. I've got one more point I want to bring up about this. And then also I want to look ahead to this season, and especially with 100%. A guy like Ludwig. And there's actually one player on LIV that I am going to go out and declare it is the year of this player for this upcoming season as well.
Wow.
That I'm very excited to see this player in the majors for this upcoming year. All that and more coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.